1 Corinthians 7, 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who is free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Heavenly Father, again, your word bears so much upon us. It bears the truth of who you are. It bears the truth of who we are as little Christs, as those who have submitted to your lordship. We are to live, Father, as we have been called. And, oh, Lord, we fall so short. God, help us with the hearing of this word this morning. Help us to be obedient to it in the moments even ahead, Lord, that we would listen intently and glean from it what you would have us to hear and to obey. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing in 1 Corinthians 7, and it is on the subject of marriage. So hence this title of this message about marriage, part 4, coming from the 7th chapter. In this section of Scripture, Paul exhorts Christians to continue living their lives as they were already living when they received saving faith from Jesus. He is not, however, advocating that believers are to continue in sinful lifestyles. He is simply warning against making changes, that are not at all necessary for the cause of Christ, or allowing others to influence such changes. Specifically, Paul here addresses obedience and contentment in the lives of Christians. Obedience to God's commands and contentment with serving Christ Jesus as Master. And though we see no words here in these verses like marriage, divorce, betrothed, husband, or wife, I am inclined to agree with Paul Gardner's assertion that these verses, verses 17 to 24, are central to this chapter. This is a chapter in which the apostle mainly instructs believers not to be hasty to change their current marital status. Some have viewed these verses as a sort of sidebar or hiccup in the middle of the instruction to be married or single persons within the church that speaks to one's vocation in life. Gardner reminds us of the frequency that Paul mentions marriage and singleness in this chapter in verses 2, 8, 10, 11, 12 through 16, 26, 27, 37, 38, and 40. So while we should see that Paul is broadening the scope of how to live as a believer in and follower of Christ Jesus, we must also continue to keep an eye on how this passage relates to marriage and singleness within the church. What is the life that the Lord Jesus has assigned to you? Is it a life of marriage? Or is it a life of remaining single like Paul? Whatever it is, there are two exhortations in our text that must be heeded by believers. Above all else, we must be obedient to God and content with our status in Christ Jesus. In today's passage of Scripture, Paul uses the example of circumcision to drive home the paramount importance of being obedient to God. He then appeals to the issue of slavery in order to address contentment in Christ. So back to obedience. Christians must always live obedient to God's commands regardless of their circumstances. As Paul transitions here from verse 16 to 17, English translators have used the words like only, let, or but as, or nevertheless. Another good way to translate the Greek words here would be just keep this in mind. Just keep in mind that the life that the Lord Jesus had brought you to, the same life that God has brought you to and called you to, Then he proceeds to emphasize that this is the very same thing that he teaches in all the churches. He's not saying one thing to one set of churches and another thing to other churches. He is very consistent in drawing the attention of all to what has been done in the Godhead for the sake of the elect. I'm sure you know the old hymn, "Trust and Obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, nor a fear, not a sigh, nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, while we will sit at His feet, or will walk by His side in the way, what He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Obedience to God is paramount to your life in Christ Jesus. It is our testimony to the world that Jesus truly is our Savior and Lord. This is the life that the Lord Jesus has assigned to us. This is the life which our God has called us to. We have been given the capacity to obey His commands. Remember what Paul said back in the first chapter of this letter. He said, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God who was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As this relates to marriage, if Christ is truly your Lord, obedience to Him must precede any changes to your marital status. Don't rush into a divorce just because you have recently received Christ as Savior and your spouse is not a believer. If you are a believer, do not contemplate getting married to an unbeliever. Someone has said only sin can keep us from obeying and serving the Lord. Circumstances cannot. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Paul says that our circumstances do not win out over our obedience to the commandments of God. Circumcised, the uncircumcised, each must obey. Those who are married, those who are not married, all must obey. John MacArthur helps us with some background on Paul's circumcision illustration here. Paul speaks of identifying as a Jew or a Gentile. Was any man already circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. In the epistles, God, being called by God always refers to an effectual call to salvation. When a Jew is saved, he should not try to become like a Gentile. This had a very specific application. Circumcision was an embarrassment in the Roman world. According to some of the Maccabees, some Jewish men made themselves uncircumcised. Josephus tells us that during the Greek rule of the Eastern Mediterranean, several centuries before Christ, some Jewish men who wanted to be accepted into Greek society had surgery to perform to make themselves appear uncircumcised when they bathed or exercised in gymnasiums. They literally became uncircumcised surgically. The Roman encyclopedist Celsus in the first century AD wrote a detailed description of this surgical procedure for decircumcision. The practice was so common that considerable rabbinic literature addressed the problem. Jews who had such surgery were referred to as epispatics, a name taken from the euphemistic term epispamai, meaning to draw over or to pull towards. This is the very meaning of the term that Paul uses here for uncircumcised. Perhaps some of the Jewish Christians thought that this was a way to demonstrate their break with Judaism. The apostle's meaning here can also be figurative. Circumcised and uncircumcised were common terms used to represent Jews and Gentiles, respectively. By extension, the terms may have even related to women, for whom literal circumcision obviously does not apply. And the idea could also be that when they became Christians, Jews are not to give up their Jewishness in order to appear like Gentiles. Many religious beliefs must be changed, but not racial or cultural identity, such as being a Jew. The same principle applies to Gentiles. Has anyone been called an uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Gentiles who become Christians are not to become like Jews. Paul says nothing less to the Galatian Christians. He says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There has been a remarkable change in understanding circumcision since the Messiah has arrived. As a Christian, you are now identified as a new creation in Christ. Circumcision is not necessary to identify you as a child of God. Yet obedience to God, as Paul says here in verse 19, is kept by keeping the commandments of God. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Only these two commandments, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So our main focus as believers is to be obedient to God, not to change our circumstances in order to somehow try to become more spiritual. Christians must always live obedient to God's commands, regardless of their circumstances. In considering contentment, Christians must always seek contentment in Christ alone. Contentment in Christ alone. If Christ truly is your master, you must not be anxious about your social status. Whatever your status is when you receive Christ as Lord, as Savior and Lord, is just fine. Your spiritual status has been, though, forever changed. You've been marked redeemed, but your social status carries no such weight. Paul's second example in our text broaches a touchy subject for many, and that is the subject of slavery. Why does he not condemn the practice? Was it not looked down upon in that culture? Well, certainly it was. It was a much more culturally practiced thing then, but it did not make it a good thing. Paul's intent here is not to condone or condemn slavery, but to use it as an example, which all could easily relate. Everyone understood what it was and how it functioned. The lead-in to the example of slavery is a sobering reminder that life continues on this earth in its fallen state until Christ returns. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Whatever the life condition or social status of the believer when he or she trusted Christ as Savior or Lord, he or she should remain in it and be a witness then to the Lord Jesus within the context of his or her social status. And whatever that status is, Paul says that the believer is not to be concerned about changing it just for the sake of change. In other words, do not be anxious about something that does not need to be remedied in Christ. You still can be a slave and serve Christ. And depending upon which English translation that you are reading, the third portion of verse 21 goes in two different but viable directions. What do I mean by that? Well, most of our Bibles read along these lines. Were you a bondservant when you were called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. That is a valid translation, and it indicates that if one can better his social standing without compromising his obedience to Christ, then that is perfectly acceptable behavior. But there is another way to translate the end of verse 21 that is found in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. Even if you can gain your freedom, make the most of it. This translation understands the last portion of the verse to be saying, make good use of the fact that you are a slave and be a witness for Christ in that position. First portion of the text gives more support to that translation, for he who is called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Again, It is your spiritual status that is radically changed when you receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Your social status doesn't change just because you have been born again in Jesus. You've become free in Christ from sin, but you have also become a slave to Jesus Christ. He is your new master. In Romans 6, Paul says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's Romans 6, 20 through 23. Paul then reminds us of the price that was paid for our freedom in Christ himself. Freedom in Christ is not given in order to sin, but to be free from sin. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Everything in your Christian life is to first be grounded in Christ, not in other men. We are not to become slaves of men or slaves of men's ideas. We are to be completely sold out to Jesus Christ, the Word of the Heavenly Father, the life of a believer. Let's pray. Oh God, help us this day to be reminded consistently, constantly of the need for the truth of your word, to be consistently and constantly reminded, Lord, that our status, our spiritual status, has been changed radically. Our social status, not so much. That might change, but we have no reason to change it according to the spiritual status. We must let, Lord, our walk with you be the guide through life, through our lives, through the rest of our lives on this planet. Oh, Lord, come quickly, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.